And our next item is report by board members. And I will start on my left. And Karina. And I'll have you, if you'd like to give your presentation to now. So Dr. Hunter. No.
Thank you, Chair Wolf, and welcome everybody. Nice to see everyone. As some of you know, I'm a board liaison on environmental justice issues, and so I typically have the privilege of reporting on projects and work in different programs within the regional board that have impact on particular goals that we have to help the environmental justice and disadvantaged communities in particular, with challenges in terms of recognizing areas that are exposed to contaminated water, as well as other ways in which we work very creatively to identify resources, technical resources, funding streams, and other ways, partnerships and collaboration to help create a network of both alliances and also information important to this process is education and outreach. So that's just kind of the context in which this work is occurring. We have some updates in the EO report, so I'm going to let those come up. However, I do want to recognize the Civic Spark program that AmeriCorps offered to us, to work with us, to sponsor two very, very talented young professionals who accomplished an amazing amount of work in their first year, and I understand that we'll actually hear from them during the executive officer's report, so I don't want to steal their thunder, but I'm very impressed and I'm very proud that our organization was able to bring in these folks, and the task that they were assigned was one of our top priorities, so they were very effective. And so I know it's going to be a good report tomorrow, but I do want to just give them a shout out on that. Two other areas that I'm going to touch on today are longstanding, one problematic and one a solution. And I think it should give us encouragement to see that we're not just chasing problems, but we're also looking ahead to actual viable solutions to the issue of contaminated drinking water. So I'll start with the problem area first. We had been, through our environmental justice work, the board, I think almost everyone on the board now has been out to visit different communities that are dealing with contaminated water through their small water systems. These are not municipal water systems, so they are drinking from well water that's contaminated, that is not required to be tested, and with the exposure to nitrate, the location in which these communities exist, it turns out, of course, that they are exposed to contaminated water. One of those areas was identified through the Environmental Justice Coalition for Water, a project that we funded to do outreach and start to identify where these individuals reside and what we can do about emergency water. The Johnson Road, Los Lomas area, Royal Oaks area, was a group of 40 to 50 families, which sounds like a very small case, but those families include seniors, children, and mothers of childbearing years. Those are the most vulnerable when it comes to nitrate contamination. We had provided emergency drinking water through a grant that we were able to provide. I believe we used, we used penalty monies.
PG&E settlement
funds. And, but again, as I know, we have a very, very dedicated creative staff, and I want to thank Katie McNeil, who was able to identify funding to continue the emergency water, which was to have ended this past summer. So now they have a little bit of breathing space in terms of, they're still facing the problem, but they now have water extended through 2019, which is a good period of time. It's not permanent, but we know that the state is doing everything possible and moving within different arenas to implement the human right to water, its goals, its mission, and in terms of the technical challenges, looking at ways to solve the problem. So to that end, the regional board, the Central Coast Regional Board, is very fortunate to have one of those projects located in our region, working with some very creative folks out of UCLA. They are piloting, and with State Water Board funds, they are piloting three operations, small systems, remotely operated, reverse osmosis treated, at the actual point of the well. And so this portends, hopefully, a possibility for a system that can be scaled up to operate in areas with no infrastructure, no way to connect, no pipelines, no way to otherwise get into the municipal system. The very good news is that we have completed our work, the last stage of which was to design a monitoring reporting program, which is going to give this pilot program the type of data it needs to validate whether this approach, this technology, is ready for a market scale system that can actually be deployed throughout these areas that are rural. They are without, in many ways, they don't even have the institutional infrastructure to operate, own and operate water treatment systems. So it's very exciting, and I really want to congratulate staff for working through some really difficult questions, because this is a pilot, and there were some issues with discharge of the effluent, and we think we're on a good track, and we think the monitoring reporting program that's been designed is going to do exactly what we need. What everyone needs is to see the data, see what actually is going to happen, how it's going to work, and to also, you know, stay on top of it and make sure that we understand what issues are surrounding, what challenges developed with this technical design. So with that, I only have one other very brief comment. I did attend the August 10th listening session on the Ag Order 3.0. It was the one located in Santa Maria, and I, as usual, learned a great deal. These listening sessions are being conducted right from the get-go. As you know, the Ag Order was passed in March and of this year, and so we are listening for the actual implementation, early implementation stages, and continuing to respond to questions and identifying areas that are still look to be challenges by our stakeholders. And hopefully with staff collaboration, we're going to focus on these areas as a starting point. And with that, I will end my report. Thank you.
And on my left, Ms. Gray.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I have just a brief report. So on July 27th, I organized a tour with Maria Elena Kennedy, who is working with Angela Schroeder and other board staff, to ascertain what the sort of EDA, economically disadvantaged areas, STACs, severely disadvantaged communities, and disadvantaged communities are within the southern region, specifically in Santa Barbara County. So we did a visual tour and a kind of a windshield tour, but had a lot of discussion related to the water quality issues throughout Santa Barbara County. Most of the communities were visited. We did not visit Kuyama, but I know that the water board staff is well aware of some of the issues there. So that was on July 27th, and then I also attended the Ag listening session that was August 15th in Watsonville, and I appreciate everybody who was there, both from the staff and the public, to be able to provide us with an understanding of how they're feeling about the data, what the gaps in the data are, and how we can craft a better order overall. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Gray. Mr. Johnson?
Yes. Let's see. First of all, I attended the August 7th Salinas workshop on the Ag Irrigated Lands Order. And it was very interesting. I was really, frankly, pretty impressed by the level of input. I mean, of course, it varied because there was a whole range of stakeholders there, mostly from ag. But I was pretty impressed by the level of thought that people were giving as to not just how the ag order was going to affect them and their operations, which, of course, was really important to people, but how we can use the ag order to actually solve the problem or the problems that we face in terms of irrigated ag's discharges. So that was interesting, and I was frankly impressed by how much people were sort of course continuing to look at self-interest, but moving past that as well in terms of the overall interest in figuring out how we deal with the problems of nitrate and pesticide impacts. The other thing I wanted to report, just sort of out my back window report, is that with this warm summer, half the lakes in the state now are under advisories around bacteria and algal blooms. And of course, this board worked a lot with the state board to get $500,000 in funding for an experimental treatment of Pinto Lake in Watsonville, which we've toured, involving coating the bottom of the lake with alum to try to fix and make non-bioavailable the phosphates that are the key factor in the life cycle of this algae. And so the city tests weekly, and I'm on the email list for the, as is our staff, for the results of those tests. And consistently, since they treated in April, the level of cyanotoxin has been at zero, at non-detect. We're not complete. This is about the time of the year, sometime July, August, September, when we really usually see that stuff start to take off because the summer heat has really accumulated. So far, so good on that, even while the lakes around the state are being shut down. That's a positive note.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. And Mayor Delgado, I think you had an additional input.
Like other board members, I was able to attend a public scoping meeting on the 4.0 Ag Order, the one that was held on August 15th in Watsonville. And it was a good refresher for me regarding the concerns that different constituents have regarding total nitrogen applied, the third-party monitoring, the tier requirements, groundwater and surface water monitoring, basically all the issues that we've been addressing over the years are still there, and it was well attended, and I thought that staff did a good job of listening and encouraging people to provide input where they might not have without that encouragement. So I thought Chris and Arwin and others did a good job at that scoping, so thank you.
Thank you, Bruce. And my report, on the July 18th, I attended the County of San Luis Obispo SGMA meeting as the deadline approach in meeting the requirement of DWR. There was quite a bit of activity. And then on August 17th, I attended a meeting with the City of San Luis Obispo on their recycled water master plan. And the request from the city of San Luis Obispo was to receive a nod of approval from our Regional Water Quality Control Board to assist them in obtaining a state revolving fund to help offset some of the cost of the upgrades of the plant. So our executive officer did write a letter to the state financial division expressing our support for this project because as our agenda will demonstrate, you know, leveraging recycled water opportunity is becoming of utmost importance. So thank you, Mr. Robinson, for expeditiously generating that letter, because also the time was of essence. And then on September 6th, I attended the Water Resource Advisory Committee meeting in San Luis Obispo, where you have representation of all the water districts and the local city governments of the county of San Luis Obispo. And on the afternoon, I attended along, in the evening rather, I attended along with our executive officer and the staff of our oil field division. We attended a meeting pertaining to an aquifer exemption for the Lynch Canyon, which is near the San Ardo oil extraction facilities. And this meeting was conducted by the Division of Oil, Gas, and Geothermal. So we attended that, since as a regional board, we do have input in regard to the aquifer exemption drafting from a water quality standpoint. And then on the 7th, I had a conference call with the Deputy Secretary Jenny Moffitt from the CDFA in regard to carbon sequestration, where Ms. Moffitt and myself at the upcoming Water Quality Coordination Committee that will be held in Sacramento will have a presentation on the nexus between carbon sequestration and climate change, as the governor has directed each of its agencies to focus on that topic, and the nexus associated with agriculture and water use. Since also I'm on the planning subcommittee for this annual conference. So that's the end of my report. And for my colleague, Mayor Delgado, who sometimes refers to me as the Energizer Bunny, I did manage to take a little vacation. So you see me with a nice smiling face right now.
Yeah, I did notice your light schedule you just reported.
Yes, yes. See, I'm still a human being. All right, so thank you very much, everyone, for your report.